your Bibles. I want to ask you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to talk to you today about reclaiming life from death. Reclaiming life from death. Before we get to this scripture reading, we need to understand a little bit about what's going on. The people of Israel find themselves in a place, in a condition of exile. They've been driven out of their own country by God himself. Why? Because they had disobeyed God. They had sinned. They had dishonored God by turning to false idols and worshiping other false gods. Their situation seems hopeless by their own description in verse 11 of chapter 37, and we'll get there in a few minutes. But by their own description, the Israelites felt like their bones were dried up, their hope was gone, and that they were cut off. Ezekiel is the prophet of God for this particular time in history, and he has a message for his people. God has a message for his people, and it's a message that is to be delivered by his prophet, his man for the hour. And that was Ezekiel. I want us to read this scripture together, and then we'll get into the message today. Beginning with verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Heavenly Father, I pray. I pray for your help today. Your spirit, your anointing. May these be your words for your people in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to lie, this is a different kind of message for me. When this message started to take shape, I thought, wow. I kind of thought, God, that's a weird outline. But as we go through this sermon today, I want us to think about what God might be trying to say to us. How many thousands of years ago was this scripture written and recorded? But today, February 21st, 2021, I want us to think all throughout this message this morning about what is God saying to me? What is God saying to my church? I want us to think about reclaiming life from death. And there are three elements for us to look at as we think about that this morning. The first element is this. It's right here. It's pretty plain. We got to talk for a few minutes about the bones. The bones. In this passage, these bones represent, as God tells Ezekiel, God tells him, these bones represent the entire house or nation of Israel. I want us to understand who God's talking about. This is a vision for Ezekiel. This is a vision that God gives the prophet. So the bones represent Israel, but I want us to think once again, keep in mind how this message relates to us. And I want us to relate some of these truths, some of these facts about these bones to our own current situation and our life and our church. I'm going to tell you something. God has given me a fresh burden. And concern and desire for the life of our church. And if we're going to be able to reclaim life from a state of death for our church, we need to understand this morning. So how do these bones that Ezekiel is writing about and that Ezekiel sees, how do they relate to us? What do we know about them? Well, first thing is this, they were scattered. They were scattered. The hand of the Lord set me down in the midst of a valley, in this big open valley, and that valley was completely full. All over the floor of that valley were these bones. They weren't piled up. They weren't attached. They weren't still together. They were scattered all over the valley. They were separated. They were disjointed. They were dislocated. They were dismembered from the bodies. They were disconnected from the body that they belonged to, and they were just scattered randomly throughout the floor of that valley. Disconnected. No connection to their own body, no connection to one another. They were just lying there randomly, separated from the body they belonged to. There's a word and a phrase or a description I've heard so many times over the last year of this virus, this pandemic, in the midst of all the regulations and the stipulations and the requirements, the quarantines, the isolation, all the things that we've been exposed to and that we've had to go through at one point or another over the last year, and we're still trying to figure it all out, there's been a word that keeps coming up and keeps coming up, and that's this: disconnected, or not having a connection. I understand that. Just last week, I felt prompted to call one of the men from the church. I said, hey, you want to get together? I said, do you feel comfortable? Do you feel safe enough in the middle of all this? Can we get together? You want to get together and have coffee or breakfast? Yeah, I'd love that. We didn't talk about anything earth-shattering. We didn't change. We didn't fix all the problems in the world. We didn't try. We just sat there. We drank coffee and we ate breakfast and we talked about life. And it was so refreshing. There's been a disconnection that has taken place. And I'm just going to tell you, I want to say this to you right here, right now. It's not my fault. This virus isn't anybody's fault. But I, But I apologize, as the pastor of this church, I apologize. I offer you whatever apology I can for the level or the sense of disconnectedness that we have, but we're doing the very best we can. I want to thank the church board. I want to thank the church leadership and those people who gather together and pray. You don't know what it's like sitting in our church board meetings, working together and trying to figure out how to continue to move forward or at least survive in the midst of all this stuff. I mean, I don't know how many phone calls. I'm not saying this to brag about me or anything. I don't know how many phone calls I made the other day. I kept a list at home just catching up with people and talking to people. But can I just encourage you to do something? If you're feeling disconnected, if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling isolated, pick up a phone and call somebody. It is my responsibility as the pastor to do my best to keep in connection with people, but it's not just my responsibility. We're a body. We're a family. And we're supposed to love and take care of one another. Our people have been scattered. We're feeling disconnected. But we don't have to stay that way. We can do something about it, even if it means picking up a phone or even if it means calling someone and saying, hey, can we get together and have coffee or can we get together for breakfast? Maybe it's a text message. Maybe it's an email. Something to stay in contact and connection with the people that we love and care about. These bones were scattered. How does that relate to us? Look at it. It is so good to see everybody here this morning. And I'm thankful for those who are even right now worshiping with and watching this online. It's good to be back together. And we're going to continue to try to reclaim life from this sense of death. The other thing I noticed about the bones and feel like I need to share with you is there are a whole lot of them. There were a bunch of them. In verse 1, we're told that the valley was full of bones. And in verse 2, we're told that Ezekiel saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. So many that he says, the Spirit of the Lord led me back and forth. He didn't just stand in one place and observe the bones. That there were so many scattered across the valley that he said, the Spirit of the Lord led me back and forth to observe all these bones. Once again, in this vision, the bones represent the children of Israel. So those great number of bones, it symbolizes all those people who were in exile at the time. The entire Israelite nation was separated and disconnected from one another. God says in chapter 36, it says God dispersed them into various countries, various nations, various other parts of the world. He didn't send them all to the same place. And I wonder, I'm just thinking out loud here. A good old-fashioned term for it is spitballing, I guess. I'm just kind of spitballing. I just kind of wonder if God did that on purpose so that they would recognize and realize the value of being together. See, we don't understand sometimes what we're missing until we don't have it. There are a lot of them. Can I just tell you this? If you're feeling disconnected this morning, let me just tell you, you're not the only ones. We're not the only church. We're not the only people going through this. This has affected everybody in our nation and even worldwide, different parts of the world, this virus. There are a lot of people who are hurting and suffering and feeling disconnected and feeling isolated. There are a lot of bones. And they're scattered. Here's the next thing I want us to understand, and it's really important. It says they were very dry. These bones were very dry. This represents death. Dryness in these bones represents death. How many of us have ever come across a bone or a carcass or a skeleton of an animal at some point in our lives? I grew up on a farm. I grew up out in the country, and my brothers and I, we didn't have video games. We didn't have all that other kind of stuff growing up. We had to make our own entertainment. And sometimes that meant just going for a walk in the woods. We'd go fishing or do whatever, but along the way we'd walk and you know, being on a farm, being out in the country, once in a while we would come across a part of a cow skeleton or something like that. Man, You could tell kind of whether it had been dead for just a short time or whether it had been dead for a long time. But if it was just the bone, there was no fur left on it, there was nothing, no skin left on it. If it was just that bone, it was dried out, you could tell that thing had been dead for a long time. These bones were very dry, Ezekiel says. The bones had been dead for a long time. My study Bible notes interpret this phrase this way. For the bones to be very dry meant that they were long dead. Now listen to this next description. Far beyond the reach of resuscitation. Far beyond the reach of resuscitation. We can watch these medical shows on TV and stuff, and somebody, you know, all of a sudden somebody's heart stops and they bring the crash cart in and they're doing everything they can to resuscitate this person. I've never seen a TV show or a medical show or anything like that where they tried to resuscitate a skeleton. Have you? Why? Because if it's a skeleton and there's nothing left there but bone, there's nothing to resuscitate. It's beyond hope. It's as dead as it's going to get, and you're not bringing it back. That's how Israel is described here. But you know what? It's not just Israel. I've seen reports of pastors leaving the ministry in greater numbers during this last year than I've ever seen in my ministry. I've seen reports of more churches closing in this past year than I've ever seen in 21 years of pastoring. Why? Because churches are dying. Question is, are we beyond resuscitation? And you know what? I don't believe we are. Look at you. Look around you. Look at the people gathered in this place this morning. We're not beyond resuscitation. So the condition of these bones then leads to a question from God. This is great. I love this. The condition of these bones causes God to ask Ezekiel a question. And here's the question. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now we have Ezekiel's answer recorded, but before we get there, I just want to ask a question of my own. Does anyone here besides me ever wonder what else takes place that Scripture doesn't tell us? I mean, you know, in all the stories in the Bible and the parables of Jesus or all the things, the miracles that happen, there has to be more to the story that's just not recorded. So I kind of wonder, this is just my country hick preacher asking a question. In my mind, I'm picturing Ezekiel standing there looking at this countless number of dead bones, and then I picture him before he answers maybe scratching his head or even shaking his head at that question. I kind of wonder how many possible thoughts ran through his head and his mind before he finally answered. Maybe there weren't any, but I still wonder. So let's talk about Ezekiel's answer for a moment, because it leads us to the next element or idea that I want us to think about. And once again, the Spirit just works so incredibly together without us even knowing it. Because Megan, when Megan was doing her opening and she touched on this, it just blew my mind. She's preaching my sermon, or part of it. Because the second element in reclaiming life from death is this: belief. It's belief. If we want to reclaim life from death, we have to have the element of belief or faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without belief, without faith. So how did Ezekiel show his belief? He showed it first in his answer to God. Listen to what he says. O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Only you know the answer to that question because you are sovereign. He believed in the sovereignty of God. And just as a refresher, what does that word mean? It means to have supreme power and authority. God is sovereign. When Ezekiel uses the word sovereign, he's telling God, you alone have supreme power and authority, and only you can answer that question. You know, we have pastors, not just church people, remember, we have pastors today downplaying and questioning the sovereignty of God? God's word says he's sovereign. God describes himself as sovereign. Ezekiel describes him as sovereign. The only one, God was the only one who truly knew whether those dead, dried up old bones could ever live again. But in addition to recognizing God's sovereignty, Ezekiel does something else. He demonstrates his own humility in his answer. He didn't try to bluff his way through. He didn't try to make up an answer and make himself sound really smart. He didn't try to manufacture an answer. He simply admitted, I don't know the answer to your question. When he says, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know, he's saying, I don't know. Only you do. Sometimes those three words, I don't know, is the best answer we can give. It was a Monday night in February in Minot, North Dakota. I was in my office at the church getting ready to do a premarital counseling session with a young couple that was getting married. I had left the house and forgotten my cell phone, so it was still at home. Just before we started the session, the church phone rang and I picked it up and it was Blenda calling from the house. She said, look, I know you've got a meeting, but you need to know something. She says, I've been on the phone with Cindy Boness. Gary, her husband, had just had a massive heart attack. She said, took the paramedics over an hour to get there because of the snow and weather conditions. They lived on a farm. Gary and Cindy were salt of the earth people. I mean, if you had a model example of church members and pastor supporters, I mean, their family had been involved in that church for decades. Gary was on my church board. Cindy was on the church board for a while. He was 64 years old. He'd been in church Sunday morning, the day before. I told the couple in the church that I was getting ready to do the counseling session what happened. They were good friends of the family, and they understood. I told Blenda, I said, well, I'm leaving for the hospital now. I got there. I was already in town. The hospital wasn't far. I got there before any of the other family members. The first family member to show up was their daughter, Katie. She came in. We stood outside in the hallway outside the emergency room until the rest of the family got there. As the ambulance pulled into the bay, I heard them call code blue in the ER. After Cindy and the rest of the family got there, we went into a consultation room and waited for the doctor to come out. Came in the room and he said, Cindy, I'm sorry, we did everything we could, but Gary's gone. You know, as pastors, we try really hard, maybe too hard, to have exactly the right words to say. When I heard that doctor say those words, all I could do was I got down on my knees in front of Cindy, who was sitting in a chair right across from me, and I said, Cindy, I'm sorry, but I don't know what to say. I don't have words to help with this right now. She said, Pastor Francis, you don't have to say anything. You're here. We prayed together. We cried together. I don't know. I don't know what to say. That's when we look at God and say, only you know. Only you know. He showed his belief in his answer to God, but he also demonstrated his belief by his obedience to God. You see, after he answers God's question, then God gives him an assignment. In verse 4, it says, prophesy to these bones. Now, this is another head scratcher for me being a preacher. You want me to preach and prophesy to a bunch of dead, dried up, scattered, disconnected bones. God told him exactly what to say, though. See, that's key. God told him exactly what to say. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to make breath enter you. You're going to come to life. I'm going to attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. And I'm going to cover you with skin. And then I'm going to put breath in you and you will come to life so that you will know that I am the Lord. Remember what got them into this mess to begin with. They were worshiping false idols. God says, I'm going to do this, but through all of this, you're going to understand that I and I alone am God. Now look at verse 7. I prophesied as I was commanded. That's obedience. Doing what God tells us, even when it might not make sense, that's obedience. Doing what he tells us, even though the outcome might seem improbable or even impossible, that's obedience. Doing what God tells us, even though others might think we're crazy, they might think we're radical, they might think we're out of our minds, they might laugh at us and make fun of us for believing what we believe. You know what? Believe it anyway. That's obedience. That type of obedience demonstrates our belief in God. And here's the incredible thing. His belief combined with his obedience resulted in God taking action. His belief in teamwork with his obedience resulted in God taking action. He says, as I was prophesying, while I was still preaching, there was a noise. It was a rattling sound, and those bones began to come together, bone to bone. Let me just make a point here. It wasn't the words of the prophet that caused this to happen. It was the word of God spoken through the prophet that caused this to happen. If we aren't speaking God's word as it's revealed to us, then we're not prophesying, we're not preaching, we're just spreading our own thoughts and ideas. But being obedient and speaking what God tells us to speak gets results. I heard a sound. It was a rattling sound, the sound of those dead bones coming back together. It was the sound of these bones being reconnected, every one of them exactly where they belonged. Then I saw the tendons and the flesh attached to them. I saw the skin cover them, the same bones that just a few moments ago were dead and dry and scattered all over the valley. But something was still missing. Verse 8. There was no breath. So guess what the next element in reclaiming life from death is? It's the breath. The bones were back together. The tendons, the muscle, the skin, they were all in place. But they were still lifeless. Much like Adam in the Garden of Eden. God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He reached down. He didn't speak Adam into existence like he did everything else. He formed Adam with his own hands out of the dust of the ground. And he was still lifeless until God breathed the breath of life into his body. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy again. This time, he said, prophesy to the breath. Call out to the source of life, the Holy Spirit. Once again, God tells him exactly what to say. This is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain so that they might live. Once again, Ezekiel does just as he commanded him. And when he spoke the words of God, it says, breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. A valley full of dry bones that were so dead and disconnected, nobody even knew which body they belonged to. But now they come together, and with the breath of God entering them, it says, they stand on their feet, and they formed an incredible army. What made the difference? The breath. Breath is key. Breath brings life. Without breath, the bodies were formed. that were formed when the bones and tendons and flesh came back together, they were still dead. They looked like they should be okay. Listen, church. How many of us look like we should be okay? They had the appearance of being complete. They looked like they had it all together. But they didn't have the breath or the Spirit of God in them. And the Bible tells us that we just preached about a couple of weeks ago, without the Spirit of God, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not of God. We can look like we have it all together. We can look like we're okay. We can put on an appearance. We can say the right words. We can do the right things. We can play church. But if we don't have the breath of God living in us, then we aren't really living at all. Here we see God illustrating what it means to reclaim life from death. What does God tell Ezekiel he's going to do? He says, tell my people that I'm going to restore your life. Verse 12, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. And verse 14, I'm going to put my Spirit in you and you will live. But not only that, he says, I'm going to reestablish your land. In verse 12, he says, I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel. And in verse 14, he says, I will settle you in your own land. And then he says, I'm going to remind you that I'm God. In verse 13, then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. I said earlier, I wanted us to think about our own lives and our own church as I shared this message. This last year has been extremely difficult in a lot of ways. We may find ourselves feeling like the dry bones. We, once again, as I mentioned earlier, we might find ourselves feeling scattered or disconnected. We might find ourselves feeling dry and lifeless. But here's the good news. We don't have to stay that way. God doesn't want us to stay that way. I believe God wants to work through us. I believe God wants to see this church do incredible things. I believe God wants to see this church not only survive, but thrive and bring him glory by reaching the lost and the hurting and the broken people all around us. I believe he has a plan for us, because if he can take these dead, dry bones and put them back together to form a vast army, then he can take you and he can take me and he can take our church and he can make something great out of us. But we have to believe. We have to recognize our disconnectedness. We have to recognize our dryness. We have to believe that God can do something about it. And then, most of all, we must cry out to the breath. Life is in the breath. We need a fresh anointing. We need a fresh infilling of the breath or the Spirit of the living God. We need revival. And I believe God wants to do it. I believe God wants to bring us revival. I believe God wants to bring us new life. Not just bringing us back to normal, whatever that is. I hear that phrase so many times. I just want life to get back to normal. I don't want life to get back to normal. I want whatever God has for us that's better than what we had before. We need revival. And you know what? We're going to close this service this morning by singing a song together. I want to invite Blenda to come to the piano and Lexi and Vicky to come back up here with me. If you have and want to follow along in the hymnal, it's hymn number 719. The words are on the screen. But here's what I want to ask us to do this morning. Maybe you're here. Maybe you're here and you need a fresh touch. Maybe you're here and you need a fresh infilling or outpouring of the Spirit. Maybe you're here and you need to call out and say, God, I'm dry. I'm disconnected. I need to be restored. We're going to sing the first and last verse of this song. It says, revive us again. And this is going to be our marching cry, church. This ought to be the prayer of our hearts this morning. That God and the Holy Spirit would revive us once again. so that we can be the church and the people he wants us to be. So as we sing, if you want to come, if you feel led to come and pray, pray right where you are. Doesn't matter to me as long as you're obedient to the Spirit. So if you'd like to stand, I invite you to do that. If you want to remain seated, but let's call on the Spirit and ask God to revive us again.